Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I spoke from this chapter at home a week or two ago, and there I titled it, I Am the Resurrection and the Life. But the title I want you to keep in mind, because the real point of this is this, the right way to learn doctrine. The right way to learn doctrine. My pastor always said, we don't arrive at Christ through doctrine, we arrive at doctrine, right doctrine through Christ. We don't reverse that. You can't reverse it. You can believe the doctrines, what we call the doctrines of grace, Calvinism, you can believe them and perish. But you can't believe Christ. You can't believe on Him. And if you believe on Him, you're going to get it right. He's not going to lead His children astray. He said, my sheep hear my voice. So you'll get it right when you get Christ right. And that's so important. You know, there's a scripture that sticks out in my mind. And Paul said, they will come preaching another Jesus, another gospel. Make sure the Jesus Christ you believe on is the one His Bible reveals. Not a twisted one. Not a made up one. Not another version. But the Christ of this Bible. And if you learn the Christ of this Bible, you'll get everything else right. The doctrine will fall in place. You'll learn it right. And you'll love it. You'll do more than just say, well, I believe in election. Well, there's a lot of Pharisees in hell believe that too. There's a whole Jewish race that perished believing they were the elect. But nobody ever perished believing Jesus Christ. I believe, that's what Martha will say here to you, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Eunice say? I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Peter say? I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what I believe. Well, God has saved you. Because the Lord said to Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. Now we can learn something. Now we can sit at the feet of the teacher and learn something. I want to learn doctrine the right way. I want to learn, you know, He's the life of doctrine. You know, what is doctrine? What does doctrine mean? Teachings. It's His teachings. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I quoted that the other night. Listen, He is both lesson and teacher. He's both lesson and teacher. Now, here is a story of a man, a family, whom the Lord loved in this chapter. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Lazarus became sick. He became sick. So sick that the sisters sent for the Lord. He was only 2 miles, it was about 2 miles away. That's all he was. I mean, he wasn't way off. He was about 2 miles away. And they sent for him. And of course, every believer loves verse 3. They sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. You see, Arminianism or false religion reverses that. He who loves you, Lord, is sick. But no, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. He's sick. And I know that these sisters, they felt confident that he would immediately come. And he would heal Lazarus. And they're sitting there with hope. They're sitting there with, I can just see it, I can just see them. Sitting there with hope, they sent to the Lord. He's going to come and he's going to heal him. But as time goes by, he gets worse. Surely the Lord's going to heal him. Surely he won't put us through this. How many times have you thought the Lord would not put you through something and he did? Because it's a need be. You know, every trial we go through is a need be. Every one of them. Ordained of God. It's an ordained need be trial for us to learn. and conform us to the image of Christ. Well, they sent for him, and they're looking for him to come, and they don't see him coming, and he dies. He lets them go through this great sorrow of anguish and pain of their beloved brother dying. He healed others. They knew he healed others. He saved others. He raised others. They knew that he could do this, and yet he's only 2 miles away. I thought he loved us. You think that went through their mind? You think he let us go through this great, deep sorrow. But he let him go through it for a purpose. A purpose. They're going to learn truth from the truth. That's the best place to learn it.
Yes, sir.
Learn truth from the truth. And so he's, now listen, on purpose, he stays away for 2 more days. On purpose. Just as God allowed Adam to die on purpose. He allowed Adam to fall on purpose. And as he said, this death is for the glory of God. This is not unto death, it's for God's glory. Our fallen Adam, the whole of God's elect, the multitude of sinners no man can number, is for the glory of God. Our fallen Adam is not to eternal death. It's for God's glory. It's for God's glory, and it's for the glory of His Son. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. No angel sings that. The angels don't sing that. You know who sings that? A bunch of redeemed sinners, saved by the grace of God. That's who sings it. Well, our Lord lets him die. He lets him die on purpose. And he says, after 2 days, he said, let's go. Let's go. It's time to go. It's time to work now. It's time to work. It's time to glorify God. He said, I'm going to go. And he said, our friend, in verse 11, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And the disciples said, well, Lord, if he's asleep, he's awake. I mean, he doeth well. You know, if somebody's sick and they're asleep, we all do this. I said, leave him alone. Let him sleep. So he had to say to them plainly in our language, he's dead. Lazarus is dead. He's dead. And I'm glad for your sakes, he said, I wasn't there. You're going to learn something. You're going to see something you've never seen. And it's not a dead man coming out of a cave, out of a grave. You're going to see the glory of God in this man, Jesus Christ. You're going to see God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to see. And you're going to see it through this, what you and I call a tragedy. You know, the world calls death a tragedy, but to you who believe it's not a tragedy, it's a promotion. It's a door into that world that we're going to spend eternity, where we're going to spend eternity. Now, our Lord allows this to happen on purpose for the glory of God and to enlighten His two sisters and us right now. This is for us. You know how many times this has been preached from since then? You know how many people have been enlightened? How many children of God have been enlightened on the resurrection? You know how many people are looking for an event to happen? And then the Lord has saved them, and they're not looking for the event, they're looking for Him. What are you looking for? I tell you what, if you're looking for an event, you're going to miss Him. You're going to miss the resurrection. Because He's the resurrection. He's the resurrection. So He's going to enlighten them and us on this matter of death, the resurrection, spiritual life, and its connection to Him. And He says here in verse 21, I want us to see this. That there is a measure of faith in Martha, because she said unto the Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. If you had been here, you would have healed him. She believed that he could heal her brother and he wouldn't die. if you'd been here. But boy, how weak is that faith? If you had been here. You don't have to. His bodily presence doesn't have to be here. What's that centurion said? Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. And he did. And his servant was healed. But I know. Listen, I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it to thee. See, she knew that if he asked God, she believed this. If he asked God right now to raise his brother from the dead for Lazarus to come back, that God would answer that prayer. But what she doesn't realize, she really doesn't realize yet his true deity. She's talking to God. She's talking, listen, she's talking to life. She's not just talking to the one who gives life. She's talking to life itself. Look over in 1 John. Over here in 1 John, it says this in chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the... We have touched the word of life. For the life was manifested. We've seen it. You know what he's saying, John's saying here? We've seen life. We have seen life and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. Life was manifested to us. Did you know that life has a name? Jesus Christ. Life has a name. And John said, we've handled, we've touched, we've seen life. And this is what he's going to get across to Martha and Mary. I am the resurrection and the life. You're talking to life. You're talking to life and you're talking to his life. That's what you're doing. But they had a measure of faith, but oh, how weak it was. Now, in verse 23, the Lord tells her something in order to teach her something. It's like he did that woman at the well we looked at last night. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And you notice he doesn't say in the last days. That's what she says. But he's saying here, your brother's going to rise again. Now, she doesn't realize it's going to be in a few minutes. She doesn't realize here in just a short bit, he's going to rise. And Martha shows a little faith here. She says, when she says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, he didn't say that. He didn't say at the last day in this situation because he's going to rise here just a little bit. She believed the word of God. She believed the doctrine of the resurrection. Job said, you know, I know my Redeemer liveth, and though the skin worms eat my body, I'm going to stand upon this earth, and I'm going to see here for myself with my own eyes. David said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. We know that applies to Christ, but it applies to David too. You're not going to leave me in the grave. There's going to be a resurrection. But that's how she understood the resurrection. She understood it as a doctrine. Let me ask you this. Do you understand election first, as a doctrine or as a person? God said in Isaiah 42, behold, mine elect. The first thing he says is, behold, mine elect. Election starts with Jesus Christ. And you and I were elected and chosen in him who believe, all who believe. It starts with him. Election starts with Jesus Christ. It doesn't start with me. It starts with him. Starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. But she believed the Word of God, and she believed there was going to be a resurrection. She believed that. So now comes the revelation. He's brought her to this place now where he can teach her something. And he said to her, and that's what this trial is all about. Every one of you that believe, every one of you who you're God's children, every trial has a lesson in it. He's going to teach you something. And He's going to conform you to the image of His Son day by day. Day by day. And you're going to learn something. And He gives them this very, very difficult trial. They believed in election, but in resurrection, but it was in an obscure. It's like looking through a glass darkly. And He's going to remove that darkness. So He saith unto her, "I am the resurrection." We've been going through the I ams back home. I am the bread of life. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. I'm the light of the world. We've been looking. I'm the door. I am the good shepherd. Here He says, I'm the resurrection. You know what He's saying here? I am the resurrection and the life exclusively. Exclusively. You're looking at the resurrection. You're looking at life. Apart from Me, it doesn't exist. You know, apart from Christ, truth doesn't exist. I am the way, the truth. He's the embodiment of truth. He's the embodiment of life. He's the embodiment of the way to God. He's it. I am exclusively it. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Of course, you never heard that before. Well, how many times have I heard that when I've preached? And I said that to Henry many times after he preached. I never seen that before. you and I will say that until we die. This is so rich. This book is the Word of God. You can't exhaust God. You can't exhaust knowing God. You know, we will spend eternity forever knowing God. We will be forever learning Him. That's what we'll do. We'll always be learning of Him. And whosoever liveth, in verse 26, and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? He shall never die. See, they're saying, my brother is dead. If you'd have been here, my brother would not died. He didn't. And this is the reality. Here's where I want to get off. This is the reality that you and I must lay a hold of. If we're to have real peace and joy, especially in the hour of when God takes one of our loved ones, you know, that believes the gospel, they're not dead. He's telling us that. And that's what He's telling her. Your brother's not dead. He's not dead. You see, He says, he that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He were dead. And he that liveth is not going to die. Here's what He's doing. He's going to get her mind away from death, and He's going to put the worst thing in the best light. What's the worst thing everybody thinks that's the worst? Naturally speaking. Death. But He's going to put it in the best light, and that's in Himself. He's going to move her from an event in the future to Himself in the present. That's what He's going to do. She's thinking, He's dead. I know I'll never see Him again until that resurrection day when I'm raised and He's raised. And that might be 1,000 years from now. I'm never going to see Him again. And He's going to take her mind off of that situation and put it on Him. This is so important. We are always so prone to looking at things in the past or future instead of looking to Christ in the present. How many times have somebody talked to you about when they were saved? Reaching back there. You know, I have been saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. We're looking to Christ now. And tomorrow, if it comes, we'll look to Christ then. We come to Christ today, right now, and then tomorrow we'll come to Christ again. To whom coming? It means who keep on coming. We just keep on coming. Now, one of the first things the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here is he's going to give her real comfort. He's going to give her real comfort. We do not get real comfort from a doctrine, do we? We do not get real comfort from a future event. I know my brother's going to rise again. But I tell you what, that doesn't help her present pain, does it? That's not helping her present pain. Real comfort comes from knowing that in Jesus Christ, our loved ones are alive right now. They are alive right now. They're not dead. They're not dead. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. They are not dead. And He's going to move, He's moving her from a common doctrine that she believed to a new revelation. A new revelation. A full revelation of death, the resurrection, and Himself. She's going to tie that resurrection into Him. We tie election into Christ. We tie all the doctrines into Him. And He's going to move her. He's going to move her and comfort her with this. Your brother's not dead. He takes her thoughts off of Lazarus laying in the grave to being in Him. I tell you this. A far better place to rest is in Christ. Than 6 feet under. She's thinking of Him as 6 feet under. Of course, back then it was in like a cave. But I'm not going to rest in a grave out there somewhere. My rest is in Jesus Christ. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord identifies Himself to her as the resurrection. She never dawned on her. She never thought of that before. Never thought of the resurrection being a person. You know, she spoke of the resurrection in a general way, but not in a spiritual way. She didn't understand the spiritual implication He was talking to, that He's revealing to her now. And by this, He's going to give her, Mary, some real comfort. But He gives us real comfort. From this portion of Scripture. Because in a few minutes, I don't know, I'm sure she didn't comprehend that much at that particular time. She was overwhelmed with grief. And He's going to raise him up in a few minutes, but you know what? That's for me and you. These things are written for our examples. It's written for our learning. This is written for us. Lazarus got, he became sick and he died for us as well as them. And for God's glory. And He says here, I am the resurrection and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ, and the first time I wrote this down, I wrote down, is the doctrine of the resurrection. But listen, He's the living doctrine. Without Christ, doctrine is just dead. It's just doctrine. It's just teaching. But with Christ, it comes alive. It comes alive. He's the definition of the resurrection. He's the definition of a doctrine. We cannot define the resurrection apart from Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, there is no resurrection in life. There is none. You know, when our Lord spoke of laying down His life, He said this in John 10:18, no man taketh it from me. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. Listen, I have power to take it again. I have power to raise up out of that grave. Because this commandment have I received of my Father. Listen, representatively, when He died, we died in Him. When He arose, we arose in Him. He is our resurrection. Spiritual, in the new birth. In the new birth, we are raised from spiritual death to spiritual life in Him. And someday we're going to die. This body's going to die. This body's going to be put in the grave. You know what the Scripture says? Because He said, I am the resurrection and the life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Where is Lazarus? He's present with the Lord. He's present with the Lord. But our Lord is saying here, now listen, I am the resurrection and the life. He's the resurrection and He is life itself. He said in one place in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the author of life. He's the source of life. He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life. He's life. And life is an attribute of God. You know, I have life, but I am not life. I'm not life. I have been given life, and I'm living, but I'm not life. I'm not the life giver. I'm not the life sustainer. Life doesn't emanate from me. It doesn't come from me or anyone else. It's an attribute of God. John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. It's an attribute of God. And it's because He is life that He lives, and we have life because He lives in us. You know, I'm looking at some people in whom God dwells. We have to stop thinking of God as some way out there somewhere. way out there beyond the stars. No, He's in you. He tabernacles in you. God dwells in you. You know the Holy Spirit, who's God, the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's with you. He's in you. Our Lord says this in John 14:19. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live. You shall live also. You shall live also. He's the life. He's my life. Jesus Christ is my life. And I live because He lives and He lives in me. And then He speaks of faith in relationship to this, to Himself. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth, and this is to continually believe, he that believeth in me. He that trusts me, he that follows me, that's what's involved in this, believeth. Though he were dead, and that's what they said. They said, our brother, you know, he wouldn't have died, and the disciples, and he had to say to the disciples, Lazarus is dead. Though he were dead, yet he's alive. Yeah, he's alive. You know, when I heard that my pastor Henry had passed away, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't have one ounce of sadness. I didn't have one ounce of sadness. I thought he's like my grandson. When my grandson was about 4 years old, we had a family picnic. My sister has horses, and she had saddled one up, and we was riding. Everybody's taking a ride, and I took him. I got on the horse, and they put him on the horse, and I started riding him around the ring. And he started shouting out, "I'm happy now! I'm happy now!" He did. He started shouting out, "I'm happy now!" Every time a believer dies, that's the first thing I think of. I'm happy now. That's right, my pastor. I'm happy now, Maurice. I'm happy now. Oh, we know what happy is now when we go to be with the Lord. We go to be with Him. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, are you living? Has God given you life? Whosoever liveth and believes in me, he shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh, yes, believers die, yet they don't die. They die, they don't die. Their death is not a penal death. There's no curse in their death. The sting of death has been taken away by the death of Christ, and they've gone to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be in His presence. One day, we get to see the one we've been talking about, reading about, worshiping. We're going to be there in a little while. This life is short. Even for the youngest ones in here, it's short. Now, this new life is enjoyed. Now, listen, it's enjoyed through faith. It's enjoyed through faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's through God-given faith that we enjoy life. Apart from faith in Christ, there's no life. It's evident. It's evident. You have no life. If you have it, you believe. You can't help but believe. That's why you believe. You can't help it. You don't believe because you mustered it up and somebody gave you some doctrines to believe and, you know, they told you the truth and you said, I believe. No, you know why you believe? And I believe we can't help it. No more than you can help breathing. You breathe. You know, I don't think about breathing. I just do it. And that's God-given faith and repentance is the response of life. God-given life. Remember this. Remember, Abraham, it says, believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It does not say Abraham believed in the doctrine of righteousness imputed. It says he believed God. Believest thou this? Abraham did. Believing in a doctrine of itself, this is important. Believing in a doctrine of itself will not give life, nor will it give real comfort in that hour of death. But believing in Jesus Christ gives real comfort in that hour and is the evidence of life. It's the evidence of it. Doctrine only comes to life as it is connected with Jesus Christ. We don't just go from a false religion. You know, most people come out of Arminianism. We don't just go from Arminianism to being a Calvinist. You don't do that without changing God. Because the God of Arminianism is not the same God of the gospel. Of the doctrines of grace that we preach and hold to. They're not the same. I had a discussion with a man years ago and he totally just disagreed with me over the gospel. And I said to him, you and I do not believe the same gospel. We do not believe on the same Jesus Christ and we do not have the same God. That's the difference. That is the difference. It's not you're okay, I'm okay, let's just get along. And that was fine with him. And how can two walk together except they agree? Truth and light can't walk together. Darkness and light can't walk together. It can't do it. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said. Martha, he says here, Martha believed there would be a resurrection. But Jesus says, I am. It is one thing to believe a doctrine and another to believe it as embodied in the person of Christ. There the comfort lies. Martha was called upon to believe in Christ's personal power, His present power, and the union of His people with Himself. Lazarus is not separated from me, laying out there in a grave. Spiritually, he's in me and I in them and thou in me. And whoever is living on this earth by faith in Christ shall never die. The body will, yes. But you won't. You won't. And that body will come out of that grave someday and you'll have a new body. Just like His body. And it's only through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that we find real life and real comfort in the midst of sorrow. It comes no other way. And I'm going to close here with this. Here's Martha's reply. And she saith unto him, remember he said, believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord. Yes, Lord. But she doesn't just stop there. She doesn't say, yes, I believe what you're saying. But get what she's saying here. Yes, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Yes, Lord, I believe you. I don't understand all you just told me. I know she didn't grasp all that he just said. But I tell you what, when Lazarus comes out of that grave, she's going to get it. I see. He is the resurrection and the life. Yes, I believe. I believe you are the Messiah, the anointed one. I believe that you are the Son of God, even though I don't quite comprehend what you're saying. Have you understood all these things? No. No. But I tell you what, you will. You will. You may have to wait till you die, but you will. As time goes on and He puts us through these trials, and we learn these doctrines through Jesus Christ. You know, we one of the first things I heard and understood when I heard the gospel was the sovereignty of God. I understood for the first time God didn't have to save me. Everybody was telling me God wants to save you. And then all of a sudden I hear Henry preaching and He doesn't have to save me. He can leave me alone. And for the first time in my life, I became afraid of God. For the first time, I had a right fear of God that He might leave me alone. That's why that one verse that I read to you last night, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Rather than Friday night, I believe it was. He that comes to me, I held on to that because I realized He didn't have to save me. He didn't have to save me. I learned God was sovereign. You know, we learn that, and then you know, time goes by, and like Job, God reaches in and takes 10 of the children away. He didn't ask Job. He's not going to ask you if He can take your children or not, or mine. He's not going to consult with me if He wants to burn my house down. He's going to burn my house down. It's written in Job, He gives no account of any of His matters. And only a sovereign can do that. But you really don't learn sovereignty until He takes away as well as give and doesn't ask you. Is it okay if I take this? He's not going to ask you. He's not going to ask you. You're going to learn. You and I are going to learn God's sovereignty. And He's going to... But listen, when He takes away, He bears us through it. When you go through the fire, I'll go with you. And when you go through the water, it'll not, you won't drown, I'll go with you. You know, He doesn't say, if you go through it. He's never said, if you go through the fire, if you go through the water, He said, it's when. And I'll go with you. And I've learned this. When it comes to trials, and a trial comes your way, you're going through it. He said, I'll go with you. I'll bring you through it. But you're going through it. Because it's going to conform you to Jesus Christ. And it's going to teach you. It's going to teach you the sovereignty of God. Whatever doctrine He's going to teach you. Here is the resurrection. I bet you after Lazarus was raised and they went back home, and she's probably telling Lazarus, you know what? This is what the Lord said to me. This is what He told me. Now I understand. And he's She's telling him about it. And she's praising him. But I know this, in her statement in verse 27, all that can be known of Jesus Christ is given in her statement and her confession of faith. This is her confession of faith in verse 27. Yes, Lord, I believe you. You know why she believed? Because he said it. He said it, so yeah, I believe you. Do I understand it? No. But I believe you. Listen, I close. I went too long. For the believer, death is going to the land of the living and leaving the land of the dead. We think, you know, the world thinks you just left the land of the dead. The land of the living. No, you left the land of the dead. You're going to the land of the living. You're going to there. And you know what? After that, it says the Lord Jesus wept. Matthew Henry gave the best, I think, statement on that. He said he felt everything he took away. He felt their pain. The pain he's about to take away from them. He felt it more than they did. He felt it more than they did. He felt everything he took away. We have a high priest that can be touched. With the feelings of our infirmity. He can be touched. He can feel. I can't feel your pain. If I've gone something you've gone through, we can have empathy. I can have sympathy with you if you've gone through something, but I really can't have empathy until I've gone through it. And he's gone through it. He's gone through it all. Tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. All that.